Wednesdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at Revolution.radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
They can be a bit of inspiration in my my radio career.
You must be some kind of a kook.
Thank you.
It's hard out here for me.
All right, listen up, y'all.
A bunch of a-holes.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Chapter systems are all gone.
Fire him!
Hashtag confused, dude.
What kind of feeling? I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
I'm not good enough.
Central, 304 West Coast, 404 Mountain Time, 604 East Coast. Good evening, Iceland. Happy Tuesday, Australia. Broadcasting live from the great state of Minnesota, where nothing is allowed, where it is a balmy, I don't know, 20? Hang on, let me look. I've already broken three cardinal rules in radio. A, I cleared my throat, my mic was hot. B, I thought I hung up from the station, but I didn't. C, I had a moment of dead air. And number four, arguably not 20. 20 in the great state of Minnesota. This is, I think, the coldest day this week. Otherwise, 37 tomorrow and Tuesday, in Thursday. Forecasted 39 on Friday, 43 Saturday, 46 Christmas Eve, Monday Christmas Day, 43, 70% chance of showers in Tuesday. The day after Christmas, a 60% chance of snow. But you know as well as I do, forecasts are only 90% accurate, roughly 60 minutes out. I may or may not be joining the mechanic and Crip Rick on the Crip Rick show. We have yet to figure out how to simulcast. But that's okay, because the backup plan was always... So this is the last week before Christmas, which means I will not be here Monday. I'm here tomorrow. I'm sorry, I'm here tonight. I'm here now. I think I'm here. I'm here Thursday, I believe. But Sasquatch Chronicles yearly puts on a best of. And this time around, they've put together not one, not two, not three, not four, but five selected programs. The best of Sasquatch Chronicles. Number five. For your listening enjoyment on this 18th of December. Now, if we can figure out how to get into Crip Rick and Mitch, I'm sorry, Mitch, and Mechanic, then we're doing that, just so you know. So this is the backup for the backup of the backup. Let's go.
On a late November night in 2012, while driving in the foothills of Washington, two brothers were surrounded by mysterious creatures. Still haunted and forever changed, these men took to the internet, creating a forum for others. If you've had an encounter, and no one else can help, may you can contact Night in 2012 while driving in the...
It looked like somebody was bent over and had their head in the window of the deer blind, and it either heard me or smelt me, and he pulled his head out of the tent and stood straight up, and that shocked me. They don't make people that big.
Nonsense, though, right?
The way it moved. Almost as if it was gliding across the beach. I've never seen anything move like that in my life. They were screaming at each other in gibberish. It sounded like a language, and they were chuntering away back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know what a bear looks like, and there is no way on this planet that what I saw were bears.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Karen, Tia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him. Uh-oh.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you. We're doing the best of. And during last night's show, I asked the members to pick their favorite episodes, and I would put it in today's show for the best of. And I hope you, as a listener, enjoys what episodes were chosen. As always, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. First up was picked by Karen F., and this is episode 825, The Locals Tried to Warn Me. And I spoke with Alex, who is from Idaho, and this happened back in 2007. And he was in Washington State at the beach. And this is trimmed down for time, but there's a lot that went on. And he had a weird encounter with the locals that were trying to warn him of weird things that are around that area. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, so what happened was, it was my friend and I, my dad, we went up to Washington for my brother's wedding. Just full disclosure, I live in Idaho, but I'm not really an outdoorsy person. I don't really hunt. I do some fishing. But I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh yeah, I see something from 400 yards away and I'm like, oh, it's this or smells that. So that was one of the reasons this incident was so alarming to me, is because I genuinely had no idea what I was even dealing with. But anyway, we went up to this area of Pacific Beach. And, what happened was my grandma, my dad, my friend and I, and then some other family members. And between all of us, there was two or three, like, you know, condos, like, you know, timeshare type things that they had rented for this wedding, because the wedding was going to be on the beach. And it was a smaller wedding. There's maybe 20 people or so. I just remember we were driving up there, and I've been in Washington quite a few times to see my brother and for tournaments and things like that. And I remember when we got there, it was the only, because I've been all over the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Washington, I mean, you name it, for tournaments. This was the first place I had ever been to, and I remember it so clearly. It was the weirdest feeling ever. When, before we even got out of the car, just driving up to this little small town, and there's parts of the Oregon coast that kind of felt like this, but this was like just amplified times 100. And when we were driving up, it just had this weird energy. It was this really weird vibe, and I just couldn't describe it. And I remember I was talking to my friend there. I was kind of joking around with him. I'm like, man, what is this place? Like, where'd you bring us, Dad? You know, we were joking around. And even my dad kind of felt uneasy about it, which was kind of weird. But anyway, so we got out of the car, and I remember there was like one road in town. And so you went off the main highway, you went into the road. The road went north-south. And that was it. Once you turned in, and it kind of curved around, then it straightened out, and there was just beach house after beach house, you know, for however far it went. And I remember when we turned on, the place we were staying at, it was right at the corner of that turn, and then there was more down the way. And right before you got to the little beach house that we were staying at, right off the highway, there is this like convenience store, original store. And I mean, it looked like it was like some apocalyptic shelter. I mean, it was like two or three different buildings. It was like a shed. And then they're like, well, just kidding. We're going to put like a single story house. Well, just kidding. It's actually a storage unit. I mean, it was a really weird structure. And the only reason we knew it was a general store was there was this like, it was like a roof. Like a metal, it was like a metal, this giant metal shingle like they'd have up at the cabins in McCall. And it said, your general store. And that was it. And I just remember pointing to my friend, and I'm like, wow. I was like, well, at least we're not going to starve. Anyway, so we get into our cabin, and even our cabin was kind of weird. The lower level was really more garage than living space, but we couldn't use a garage. And I remember when we got out of the car, there was this lockbox, and it took my dad forever to figure out how to open it. And when we finally figured it out, the door was really weird. It was like a door within a door. Like, you know how there's sometimes like a screen door? This was like it was like this weird piece of plywood. There was an actual lock. You had to unlock that, like a padlock. You unlock that, you swung that open. And then there was this normal door, and it had two deadbolts. And the first one is pretty easy. Like, put the key in, just opened up. The second one, though, he had kind of messed around with it. And even after he opened it, it didn't really want to open. It was really weird. Like, he had to really work to open it. So he opened it. And I just remember taking note of that, going, oh, that's interesting. So we go inside, and the lower level is, I think there was like one or two bedrooms downstairs, a small little bathroom. And then,
right when you walked in, there was like this little mud room. You turned left and then you saw some of the bedrooms. You kept going and then it opened up to a staircase and you went upstairs. And that was the nice part. The second story was actually pretty nice. That's where everybody was staying. And there was this balcony on the second story that you can see the beach, and there was the kitchen and the living room and all that. And, it was a big deal because I just got the new iPod Nano, and I remember it was so cool back then. And anyway, I just got it, and I had my headphones and all that. And so, kind of an important thing before I go into it, after we kind of got settled in, my friend and I decided to go to that general store. And so we walked down the road, and I remember when we were walking down the road, I was kind of like, you know, just kind of paying attention to my surroundings, because like my body was telling me like, hey, there's something off of this place. Like, you got to kind of be aware of your surroundings. And I kind of mentioned that to him, and he's like, dude, there's like 30 people here. What's the worst that could happen? And I'm like, well, I get that, but it just feels weird. Anyway, and so we go to this general store, and right when we walk up to it, I looked at him and I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, what? I'm like, this one has two deadbolts too. And he's like, oh yeah, that is weird. I'm like, why does it have two deadbolts? He's like, man, I don't know. And he's like, oh, place is strange. I'm like, all right. So we open it up, and I want you to imagine this. You have this perception of the outside building that's not so great. You know, it's a little rundown. And we open the door, and the first thing we see when we open the door is there's this wall, and it's got this map. I mean, this thing had to be like 10 feet wide of this bulletin board, and all over it was warning and missing and all these things like, hey, warning, no animals at night, warning, don't leave your dogs unattended, your dogs have to be on a leash, dogs can't be left overnight, no cats, no this, no that. And then there's all these city ordinances about like at night you can't leave the dog. I mean, it was just this giant legal bulletin board of all the things you couldn't do on the beach with your pets. And we both just kind of look at each other like, I remember kind of joking around going, well, I guess we're not going to be able to bring our pets next time. And he's like, oh yeah, shucks. And anyway, and so we turn to the left, and there is this counter. And this is where it also got weird. We turn to the counter, and I'm not kidding you, there was four shotguns on the counter, like just laying on the counter. And there's this old lady there, and I just kind of look at him, and I look at the lady, and I was like, and we're just kind of looking at each other like, oh, okay. So we kind of walk around the store, you know, they got the refrigerators in the back with soda and all that, and they had some money. And I finally said something. I was like, man, I was like, what's up with the guns? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, maybe they're not real. I'm like, you think someone went to this? I'm like, you're telling me you think someone went to the extent to go buy four fake shotguns to put on their counter to not make a statement? And he's all, well, let me say it like that. I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know, man. You ask her. I'm like, whatever. Anyway, so we buy our soda. We go up there, and the lady just looks at us, and she's like, she goes, you guys from around here? And I was like, oh, you couldn't tell. And she's like, nope. She's like, yeah, we get a lot of tourists in here. I'm all, yep. She looks at me. She goes, make sure you guys don't let your pets out at night. And I'm like, well, luckily we left our farm at home. You know, we were kind of joking around. Neither of us had any pets. And I was like, well, luckily we left our farm at home. And she didn't seem to like that. So we left, we went home, and that was it. That night, by the second night, we had the rehearsal for the wedding. And then that night was when the first incident happened. So that night I was like, well, my friend and I were really into Family Guy. And I remember there was about a half hour or so until it came on, because Washington's on Pacific time. And in Idaho, it comes on at about 1 a.m. And so it wasn't quite midnight. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on a little walk. I get to listen to my iPod. I'm happy with that. Then, you know, I'll be back and we can watch Family Guy. So I go outside. When I step outside, it was foggy. I thought it was foggy, but I didn't realize how foggy it really was. Like, it was really, really foggy. And on that one road, right where the corner of our little beach house was, there was a lamp post, and there was probably, I mean, you could kind of tell there was one in the distance, but you could not see like the third or fourth or fifth one. Like you could, like you just couldn't see very well. I'm moving along, and right when I start walking, I put my music in, and I just had this really bad feeling. And I was like, man, this is such a weird place. And I keep walking, and the only thing I can say is the farther I walked, the worse the feeling got. I'm like, man, I need to go back. I need to turn around. And I was kind of getting upset with myself. I'm like, man, what are you upset with? There's nothing to be scared of. You're in the middle of nowhere. Your biggest concern is tripping on the concrete right now, you know? And so I just kept walking and walking. I started to smell something. Now, full disclosure, I have really, really bad sense of smell. So whatever I smelled, it smelled off. It kind of smelled like, you know, rotten meat kind of, but I know a lot of people have said it was the worst thing they've ever smelled in their life and all that. It did not smell like that to me, but I can't really smell. I just know something caught my attention. Let's put it that way, as far as smell goes. And so I kept walking, and that sense just got worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, as I'm walking, my body was like, it was like, imagine if you're walking and it was like an out of body experience. It was like my body jumped out of my body, grabbed me, and was like, stop, take your headphones off and listen. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And so I stopped my music. I'm like, what's up? I'm like, why is my body doing this? And then that was when I heard it. I heard, and I kid you not, it was the most absolutely terrifying growl you can imagine. It was just absolutely, I mean, it completely froze me, this sound. And my body just didn't even know how to even process or cope any of it. And I heard this growl and I'm like, what in God's name is that? And then I'm like kind of looking around, freaking out, like, oh, I can't see anything. What's going on? And I would say about, and it's hard to judge the distance because of how foggy it was, but I would say it was, you know, probably maybe 30 feet away. I saw these red eyes come out. And what really caught me off guard, besides the fact that they were red, was how big they were. And I was like, God, what is that? And I thought I was seeing something. I'm like, it's foggy. I'm not seeing it. Like, what's going on? And then I could kind of tell they were moving a bit. And I was like, well, why are they moving? And then the growl happened again. And then that's when it dawned on me. Whatever that is, I think I'm actually seeing it. It is real. And that growl is coming from those eyes. And it keeps getting closer. And I'm just frozen. I mean, I cannot move anything. I am just completely petrified. And as I see these eyes coming closer, I can kind of start to make a silhouette out. Now, my initial thought was, because once again, I'm not completely incompetent. I know what a bear looks like. I know what other animals look like. But my biggest thing was, it was the eyes. I'm like, what in the animal kingdom would have this color red eyes? And what sounds like this? I don't get it. So that wasn't processing with me. And then the other thing was, I remembered my dad, because we were talking about it on the way up there, actually, which was funny, was he was talking about how everyone was up in arms in Idaho because they just introduced the timber wolf again. And it was this huge ordeal, and they were these, you know, they were 2-3 times the size of a regular wolf. And, you know, and I was sitting there and I was like, well, maybe that's what this is. Maybe it's a timber wolf. And that's what I was thinking. So as I'm frozen there, that's kind of what I'm trying to process is, what is this? You know, like you're trying to like assess the threat, right? Which I was not doing a good job of because I was just so frozen. But anyway, and as it got closer, I kind of made the silhouette out. And that was when it dawned on me, whatever this was, it was more than likely not a wolf, because I could see the shoulder blades. And the reason I knew they were shoulder blades is because as I saw eyes getting closer to me, I could see some type of movement with the silhouette, and I could make out that there was like, you know, like the shoulder line. You could kind of make, you know, where the head would be, which is where the eyes were close to. And I could see the shoulders moving. And that's when I got even more scared, because just the shoulder blades were taller than I was. And I'm 6'1". So as this is getting closer and it's maintaining this pretty steady growl, I'm going, if the shoulder blades are taller than I am by a lot, well, then the head's even taller than that. I'm sitting there going, this thing's got to be over 7 feet. Shit, it's probably over 8 feet for all I know. And it just kept getting closer and closer. And that was when I could kind of make a head silhouette out. It was not that great. It was, I could see the eyes, and I could kind of see, I think it was kind of like a nose or a snout, but the weird thing was I didn't see any nostrils. I could just see the, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, there's eyes. I see something below it. It's kind of dark. It's a little lighter. I'm assuming that's kind of this nose or snout, because I was still thinking, well, maybe it is a wolf. And I'm like, but I don't see a protruding, you know, snout like, you know, like wolves have. So I'm like, well, is it a bear? What is this? And then below that, I could kind of tell it had a mouth. I couldn't really make it out too much. I was still just completely locked onto the eyes. And anyway, and so at this point, the only thing I'm thinking of is I'm going to get eaten. This thing's going to eat me. And that's that. And then I'm like, well, if I have to run, you know, I have no idea how far the house is from this. How am I going to even get to it? What am I going to do? I can't see anything. And then it kind of stopped moving for a minute. It kind of stopped its growl. And I don't know how long we had this little moment. It felt like eternity. We were sitting there, and I could still kind of make the silhouette out, and all I was thinking of is this thing is massive. It is just absolutely massive. And I didn't know what to do. And then what happened was, right when I was standing there, it lunged at me. Now, when I say lunged, it just moved quickly. I could tell it moved because I literally felt it move. Was what I'm trying to say. Like when, you know, like if you see like a, like I imagine like a, you know, like a linebacker, you know, and the quarterback says, how do you move? That's kind of how it was like. And when it did that, I felt it. And if it wasn't for me feeling it move, I really don't think I would have snapped out of whatever trance I was in. I think I would have just stood there. But when it did that, it was like my instincts were like, run. And so as soon as it did that, I turned around and I just started running as fast as I could. And I'm like, I'm going to get back to the house. I was just running. I was totally discombobulated because I was like, I mean, there's only one road. It can't be that hard to find, you know, the house that this one road connects to. I didn't go that far. And as I'm running full sprint, I had this sense of dread come over me. Because I remember that door and how finicky it was. And I'm just playing this out in my head. Okay, some act of God, I get to the door. I somehow outrun this thing. I can't open the door and it's just going to grab me and, you know, swallow me whole. And that's it. And that's all I was thinking. I'm like, well, I don't have a choice. I'm running and hopefully something happens. I get to the door and sure enough, it took me a little bit to open it up. I don't know how long it took, but I had to rattle the door a bit and open it up. I open the door, I run in, I turn around, I'm locking the deadbolts. I bolt inside, I bolt upstairs, and my friend's sitting there on the sofa and it was weird. So I run in, I can kind of tell in his face. He's like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, you okay? And I was just. And I remember he looked at me and he's like, dude, you look like you saw a ghost. And I was like, I was speechless. I mean, it took me, I just sat down. I have no idea how long I was there kind of processing that. But back to that time reference, I remember on the TV, the Family Guy episode had just wrapped up, and it was saying next up was it was a robot chicken. And so there had already been the two episodes of Family Guy. So long story short, it was after midnight on Pacific time. So it was after 1 a.m. now. You know, it was after 1 or so a.m. I'm just trying to process all this going, okay, this whole thing took, I have no idea how much time, what did I see? I was just completely freaked out. And so some more time went on, and I kind of told him, I said, I don't know what I saw tonight, but it was huge. And he's like, oh, well, and I was telling him, I was like, and it had this growl. And I'm telling you, and he was trying to get some more out of me. And I'm like, man, I can't talk about it right now. I just, let's, like, we're going to talk tomorrow. I just remember I went into my room and I just hid under the covers like a big baby. I mean, I was absolutely mortified. You know, next morning rolls around and I didn't really sleep that well. I don't even know if I did sleep. I was just, I just could not process what happened. I mean, I couldn't make sense of it. I mean, I don't know what I saw. It wasn't a wolf. Why would a bear be out there? I mean, it just made no sense at all. So my friend, he gets up and he's like, hey, you want to talk about it? And I'm like, yeah. So I was trying to tell him about it, but I was still just in such shock. I mean, I just couldn't really communicate. And I was telling about the growl, and that's really what he focused on. He's, oh, well, I'm sure we'll identify the growl and we'll figure out what it was. And so this is when YouTube was kind of starting to become a bigger deal. And so I remember he had his laptop and he's like, oh, let's look up animal sounds. And he's like, oh, let's look up a coyote. And he goes up there and I was like, it wasn't a coyote. And he's like, how do you know? I'm like, it wasn't a coyote. It wasn't a coyote. I mean, it was just huge. And he's looking up, he's looking up bear growls and all these things. Like, what about this? No. So he's going through all this YouTube thing, like, what does a bear sound like? What does this growl sound like? He's playing all music. Does it sound like this? Does it sound like this? I'm like, no, it, I'm like, I'm telling you, it doesn't sound anything like that. I'm like, it doesn't sound anything like that. I'm like, it wasn't any of those. And I'm like, it was bigger than a wolf. It was bigger. I'm like, it doesn't even matter if it sounded like that. Why was it so big? So I was kind of getting upset with him because I was also upset because I was like, I don't know what I saw. Am I crazy? What's going on? But my body's like, oh yeah, you saw something. So then that next day, that was when, we were about to have the first wedding there. And I remember we were kind of getting ready and my friend's like, oh, you're going to tell your dad? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell my dad. And he's like, why? And I'm like, he's not going to believe me. And he's like, oh, okay, man. He's like, you sound kind of crazy. And I was like, exactly. And anyway, so we were getting ready and I remember we started to head downstairs and we went out. And so on the beach, there was the north part of the beach that was closer to our house, and there's a south part of the beach, and the south part was where the wedding was going to be.
I'm only pausing it here because the guy's been talking straight for 27 minutes and change. I don't think Wes has interrupted him once to ask a clarifying question. And I can't tell where this place is located. It would have been helpful to provide information such as the convenience store or the general store where the elderly woman had four shotguns on the counter and the map that explained all the locations, not to bring your dogs and the rules, et cetera, et cetera. I only got West Coast. So was it Washington State, he indicated? I'm not even quite sure. Anyway, let's continue with this very well detailed and do I dare say entertaining Bigfoot encounter.
So we kind of started walking on it. And I remember I kind of picked up that smell again. It was much, much, much less faint though. And I remember I started freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, is this thing just waiting for me to come out here to kill me? Like, what did I do to piss in the Sweeties? So we're going there, and as we were walking up, we're kind of making out, like my friend and I kind of noticed there's some stuff on the beach, And I was like, man, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what the? And so I was kind of pointing to my dad and he's like, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. And I'm like, well, it's definitely something. So we're getting closer and we could, you know, after a while we made out that they looked like animals. And I'm like, well, why are they just laying on the beach? And my dad's like, oh, I don't know. So as we walk up and we keep walking. And so there was, I mean, at least a dozen deer carcasses all up and down the shore. I mean, and the weird thing was all of them except for one, and it was partially one left over, were female. They were all younger, or there was a couple that I could tell, you know, were more mature females. And I mean, they were just completely mutilated. Like there'd be a limb or two thrown around. Some of them had like their guts looked like it literally looked like something, cause you could see it. Like imagine if you had the side of a deer and something just punched through it, ripped out its, you know, heart and guts and all that, and then just dropped it there and left it for dead to bleed out. Like some of them were like that. Some of them you can tell there was something that happened in their neck. And then the really creepy one was there was one male buck there, and it was like something grabbed its neck and ripped almost the entire neck and almost the entire spinal cord off the animal and then just left it there. And I was just looking at it like, what happened here? And I'm looking at my friend, and I remember he was turning white, and he looks at me and he's all, is this what you saw last night? I'm like, this wasn't here last night. Like I wasn't on the beach. I was just walking on the sidewalk. And he's like, do you think what you saw did this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm assuming whatever I saw could do whatever it wanted to do. It was huge. And I remember looking at my dad and he's just kind of confused, but he was almost kind of dismissive of it too. He's like, oh, well, you know, there's predators up here. And I was like, predators. He's like, yeah. I'm like, do that. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, they're just going to kill a bunch of deer, not eat them, not do anything with them, just having a good time. And he's like, well, you know, maybe there's something wrong with them or whatever. And I was like, that makes no sense. Anyway, we went through the wedding. And then I remember we rehearsed the wedding one more time. We had a small break, you know, before we had the wedding ceremony. And then we went back to the house. And before we did, that was when my friend and I, we went back to that general store. And we opened the door, we go in there, the same lady was there. I just kind of looked at my friend and I was like, man, in my head, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe she knows something. And I was just looking for someone to be like, yeah, you're not crazy. What you saw was, you know, yeah, there's stuff like that out here, you know, like something like that is kind of what I was looking for. And I was like, oh, what the hell, she lives here. I looked at her and I was like, did you see those animals out there? And she's like, oh, was there more carcasses? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, so you do know? And I'm like, yeah, there's a bunch of dead deer out there. She's all, yeah. She's like, yeah, anytime there's tourists here, they usually summon it. I was like, summon it. And she goes, yeah. I'm like, summon what? And she's all, well, I can't say that. And I was like, I didn't summon anything. I didn't wake up today and go, man, I'd love to summon something. And she's like, well, that's why you can't have any pets or this or that. And I'm like, I was like, I don't know if you remember, but I don't have any of that. We don't have any pets, nothing. Like, it's just us. And she's like, well, you summoned it somehow. And I was kind of getting upset with her. I'm like, this lady's crazy. Like, what does she know? Anyway, and so we went back to the cabin. We had the wedding. We had the reception. We came back. And my buddy's like, man, he goes, I wish I could have seen that. And I got kind of upset with him. I was like, no, you don't. So the next night, you know, I'm still pretty shook up with it. And one funny thing I remember was after the wedding, I remember it kind of went a little behind schedule and I was kind of paranoid. I was like, man, this isn't going to go into the night, is it? Like, we're not doing anything on the beach, right? And my dad's like, no, why would we do that? I'm like, I don't know, Dad. I don't know why we're having the wedding here, but I don't want to be anywhere near the beach. I don't frankly want to be anywhere in the open. And anyway, But yeah, so second night and my friend's still kind of bugging me and, he was kind of making fun of me, but kind of looking back, I think he was just more curious than anything. And so he's like, oh, come on, Esco. And I just told him, like, man, I'm telling you, whatever I saw, you don't want to see it. Like, it's not some zoo experience where you go to the zoo and go, oh, look at the nice tiger. It's behind glass. It can't hurt me. It's not like that. And he's like, oh, man, let me see it. And he's like, let's go. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm not going to let you outside. Like, you cannot leave this place. Like, I don't care if I have to sit on you or what. You're not going outside. And he's like, all right. And he's like, well, let's do something. He's like, well, maybe we'll see you on the balcony. And I was even hesitant to do that. I'm like, I don't know, man. That balcony is kind of close. And he's like, close. It's like 10 feet in the air, Alex. I was like, man, I'm telling you, it's what I saw. There's like, if it wants to get you, it's going to get you. And he's like, oh, whatever, man. I was thinking, man, I don't want to see this. But I was also thinking, well, I'm still kind of like a little bit in doubt. I'm like, well, maybe I'm seeing stuff. I just wasn't sure. I'm like, okay, well, we'll go on the balcony. And I'm like, but we're going to leave the porch light on. I'm like, and if we see anything, we're just going inside. He's like, oh, okay, whatever. So we're out there and he was playing on his PSP and I was kind of, I had nothing. I literally was just sitting there, hands in my lap, just going, whatever it was, please don't come again. And I was like on super heightened alert. And I told him, I'm like, dude, you need to turn that off. He's like, why? I'm like, you need to hear stuff. He's like, what am I going to hear? I'm like, anything at this point. So we're sitting there, as we're sitting there, it kind of got a little bit more foggy. It was not nearly as foggy as last time though. It was a little bit foggy and we had that one lamppost right to the left of us in the corner. We couldn't see it, but we could see the light behind us. If that makes sense. And then we could see, you know, three or four other lampposts kind of up the road. So we're sitting there. I have no idea how long we were there and we're sitting there. After however long it was, I see the eyes come up again. And what really startled me this time was even though it was not as foggy as the last time, but the first time the eyes were like they came out of nowhere just because of how foggy it was. This time though, what was really creepy, I could have sworn I saw the eyes running. I saw something in the distance and I'm thinking, are those the eyes? And as I'm thinking that, they're getting closer very quickly. And I just start freezing again. And I just remember I'm looking at it. And I just turn to my buddy and I'm like, like some stupid, like Looney Tunes character, you know, when they stutter, like that's what I was doing. I was like, the eyes. He just kind of looks at me like, what's wrong with you? And then I see his face. He looks at the eyes and he just turns white. And he is just completely froze. I kind of look back at the eyes and I could make the silhouette out again. This time it was a little bit more apparent that it was on two legs. I still did not have a very good silhouette, but at least I could kind of tell, okay, whatever this was, it appears that it is not on all fours. That's the best way I can describe it. I can confirm that, oh yeah, it was definitely standing. You know, there's the shoulders, there's the legs, the arms. Was any of that, I could just tell whatever it is, it's not on all fours. And it's still very large and very tall. And so we're looking at it. We're both froze. I can tell he's just petrified like I was. And then this thing lets out the loudest. I mean, it was like, it was weird. It was a combination of like, it started as... It was almost like a scream, but then it kind of turned into a growl. I mean, it was weird. I couldn't even try to replicate it if I wanted to. And as soon as it did that, I just stood up from my seat. I remember I grabbed his hoodie. I slid open the sliding door and I pretty much just threw him onto the ground in the living room. I turn around, slam the door, lock the sliding door, shut the curtains. I go to all the blinds. I cut all that. And I just turn around and I'm like, okay, like, you know, you're kind of like checking the perimeter. I'm like, okay, things are locked. I remember I ran downstairs to double check all the deadbolts and everything was locked, you know, all that. I run back upstairs and he's right where I left him. And he just looks at me and he's like, is that what you saw? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, why were the eyes red? I'm like, I don't know. And he's all, why was it so big? I was like, I don't know. That's what I'm telling you, man. And and then he sat there for however long, kind of processing it too. You know, the next day happened and we were packing up and about ready to leave.
And I want to thank Karen F., who is a member on the site, for picking episode 825. And Merry Christmas, Karen. Next up is episode 956, The Arkansas Property. And this was chosen by Jennifer B. And again, I trimmed this episode way down, but I spoke to Pam and Paul, who hunted a 40-acre property back in 2003. And in 2015, they bought the property and an additional 40 acres next to it. And there's a lot of weird things that happened on this property. Let's take a listen.
We didn't buy the 40 until 2014 or 15. But we had hunted it prior to that. We started hunting around 2003, 2004.
The second year that I hunted here, it was in November during rifle deer season. I had a little box stand set up in the power line. There's a big transmission power line that goes across the corner of our property. And I had a little box stand set up at the edge of that power line. And there's an old logging trail that goes down through the woods over to the power line. And I come out here that morning. It was early morning and was walking down that little trail there. And I seen foot tracks in front of me. And there was about five of them and they was all in a straight line. It wasn't like, you know, offset from each other. They was just all in a straight line. And they was probably about, I don't know, I'm guessing eight, maybe 10 inches long, probably about 8 inches long, I'd say. But I couldn't really see no toe prints. It was just like from the toes back. The heel of it was just perfect, you know, and it was narrower at the heel than it was up toward the pad of the foot, you know, and they was in the mud. But you know, I was thinking then, you know, what would be somebody out here running around barefooted for, you know, but I could tell too, it wasn't a human track. It didn't look human to me. So I don't know. And I didn't have Bigfoot on my mind at that point. You know, I just thought it was weird. I didn't know what to think of it really. You know, that was the first thing that happened out here. You know, I could tell they wasn't human. It was just odd what they were. I really didn't know. And also the man that owned the property told me that he doesn't allow anybody out here, you know, and the whole time we've ever hunted here, I've never seen anybody out here.
You know, after that was something weird that I noticed. Where my deer stand was at was the path that he's talking about. When you get to the end of it, you would kind of, it comes out to the power line. You kind of make a left and cross the creek. And I had a deer stand there and there's some trees kind of along the creek. I was walking to my stand and I noticed that there was a limb completely snapped off of a tree. I mean, it was just completely snapped off and it was about 10 foot up in the air and I stopped. I was laying on the ground and I stopped and I looked up and, you know, it didn't make no sense to me. I was like, what in the world would do that? I knew a buck couldn't have done it. And I went onto my stand and then I showed it to Paul. And, you know, we were puzzled. The next day, his brother came out to hunt with him. And then his brother sat in a different stand, a few hundred yards north of where my stand was, where that tree break was at.
The school
you've
covered today was mechanic. You know, they've really got this agenda.
I have my brother come out and hunt with me.
That's what I think we're up against. Unfortunately, it's like Chicago Brew was saying. Well, is that
instead of getting up in the stand, he decided to just sit on the ground under the stand. And right before dark, he heard some noise over in the creek. So he started kind of watching that area. And all of a sudden he seen something walking up the creek, and it was just a tall black humanoid, you know. He said it was walking on two legs, and it stayed in the creek and just walked on away from him up the creek. And he said, I could see it from about the waist up. And so, I don't know, maybe a week later or so, we went back down there. And I told him, I said, you sit back on the ground again. I'm going to go over and get in the creek, and you just tell me how much of me you can see as I go up through there. Well, I did that, and he could see me just the tip of my shoulder up. So whatever this was two or three foot taller than me. But he could never make out exactly what it was. He said it was just black and walking on two legs.
The next day you came out here by yourself.
The next morning I come out here and I went and sat in that stand that he was sitting under. And up on the, I was on the creek bottom here, and there's a big ridge. It would have been to my left, which would have been kind of northwest of me. There was, I don't know, some kind of noises on top of that ridge. It's a real tall, real big ridge there. And I was hearing some weird noises. I don't even know how to explain what I was hearing. It, I had never heard it before. And it kind of freaked me out. And then probably 15 minutes later, it sounded like it was going toward the river from here. And as it got down in there, I heard dogs start barking, just carrying on down there. I don't know. It just kind of freaked me out. So I didn't stay long that morning. I went back to the truck, went to the house.
Well, and when you guys would hunt out here, I didn't hunt a lot in the beginning because our kids were still small. But y'all would hear the wood knocks, too.
We would hear knocks all the time.
Didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the kids started getting bigger and I could leave them by themselves and stuff, you know, I got to where I'd come out here more with Paul. We enjoyed coming out here. It's just a beautiful place. It was the man and woman that owned the property had they were elderly, and they had become sick and had to move in with their son, and he lives in Tennessee. So, you know, there was nobody out here at this point, and we would come out here and just ride around, check the deer feeders, and then these particular days, we was coming out here and checking the deer feeders and the cameras and stuff, but the man, the son, had been out, I guess, I don't know, a week prior, and had mowed out there. And there was some tin, you know, metal sheets of tin that was out in the power line. And I don't know if they had, if his son had tried to build something at one point. But anyways, the man, he had moved that metal and stacked it all on top of each other. And then there was like the grass was dead where the, you know, where the tin had laid. And so when we come through, we drove by it and we seen that, you know, that it had been moved and seen the grass, and, you know, and Paul said, well, there's a cell phone, you know, so we saw, he thought it might have been that man's, maybe he dropped it, but he picked it up and it was an old flip phone, and, you know, we could tell it was old, it had been chewed on. And so he took it and set it up on top of that stack of tin, and this area out there is flat, you know, and he set it on top of the tin.
It was about 7 foot away or so.
Yeah, the dead grass area was about 7 foot away from where he had stacked the tin. So we, you know, put it there, and then we went on and done whatever it was we did. And then we come back the next day, kind of took the same route, and we come up on that where the dead grass was, and that cell phone was sitting right smack dab in the same exact spot where we had found it. And, you know, we couldn't figure it out. So we picked it up and put it back on the tin, and, you know.
I understand what's going on in this story. This is weird. I don't. So we got a couple driving by, seeing some stacked tin. It's then moved. You know where the tin was because of the dead grass underneath. They saw a cell phone that apparently was chewed on. They put the cell phone on top of something. They came back the next day. The cell phone was in its original location where they found it. I don't know what any of this means. Maybe we'll get to it next hour. Did Wes edit himself out of these interviews? Because I have not heard him ask a question yet. I wonder if Wes just edited himself out and people just freely talk for their entire interview. I don't know. You're tuned in to This, That, and the Other, where this evening we are replaying for you Best of Sasquatch Chronicles 5 from SasquatchChronicles.com, a free plug. They don't pay for a replay. Reminder, we're 100% listener supported. Head on over to revolution.radio. Common spelling in your favorite internet browser. Again, revolution.radio, where you, at the top of the page, see the donations tab. Click on that tab. You can become a patron through Patreon. There's the donor box. We have direct payment, North America only, some cryptocurrency options. Bottom of the screen is nowadays 60 cents. It'll make its way to Allen, Michigan. Never been, but I hear it's nice. There's also a way to support us free of charge. Join the chat room, or better yet, click on the schedule tab. Look at the open slots for Studio A as well as Studio B. You find a slot you like, you click on the contact tab, you email the folks there, tell them who you are, the studio and time slot. A reminder, all times are Eastern. So if you're hanging out in Australia, it's 10:56 a.m. on Tuesday, or 5:56 p.m. on Monday, Central Standard Time. Those are the ways to support us. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Next hour, we will finish up the Sasquatch Chronicles special. Until then, get up. As Dr. Fetzer said yesterday in Saturday during his False Flags presentation, annual conference, if you got to make a pit stop, now's the time. Which is interesting. I've never heard pit stop used to go to the bathroom. I've just heard, go to the bathroom. Thanks for listening. Back after these messages.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people on the fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids, dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out. Up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show. Find it right here at revolution.radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
It just seems.
Nope, I'm here. All right, kids. Welcome back. The second hour. It is the Best of Sasquatch Chronicles, Volume 5. For your listening enjoyment on this December the 18th.
Rode around and stuff, and then we come back the next day, and we was kind of curious. You know, we went back there in that same area. The cell phone was gone, but there was a.
There's a piece of conduit, steel conduit pipe, a half-inch conduit, which was about 2 foot long.
And it was laying in the dead grass, and the cell phone was completely gone. So we was like, what in the world? And so we picked up that pipe, we laid it on the metal, and we left. And then we think the next day we didn't get to come back. Mm-hmm. But the day after that, we was like ready to get back out here. We was really curious. And so we come back out and drove back there. The metal pipe was gone, but there was this little white button, like a flowery button, left in that grass.
And this flower button is the type of button that you see on the older mobile homes. It's got a screw run through the center of it that holds the ceiling up. Is what kind of button it was.
Yes, but anyways, so we was just like, what in the world? And I guess, did we pick up the button and put it on the metal?
I don't remember for sure.
Anyways, I laid out, I had my hair up in a ponytail, so I put the ponytail holder down there, and I'm pretty sure we put the button up on the tin. And I laid my ponytail holder down there, and I had a piece of candy in my pocket, and I put it down there. And when we come back, I don't know where the button went, But my stuff that I laid there was never touched. And what was doing that? I don't know. Our son, he temporarily had to, he moved back in with us for a little while. He had, and he would go outside to smoke.
We actually don't talk about that enough.
He was
about
always,
the banner, because
you know,
I've used it for a couple years now.
There would be trees getting snapped, bushes being shook, you know, and it happened quite often, you know, because he was calling me outside, listen to this. I mean, and then I would even go out there, because we didn't have good cell phone service at that time. And you'd have to go outside to send a text. And I went outside one night to send a text. And something, I heard a tree, you know, like a loud crack. And then it fell just right behind the house. And I ran back in the house. I mean, and that's how it was for quite a while. I mean, it was always kind of something going on. And like the first year I hunted out here after we built the house, I was sitting in my deer stand and I kept hearing trees getting pushed over. I heard like two trees get pushed over or fall over. I guess I can't say pushed, but two trees fell over. And I kept hearing these really loud, like thumping. I don't even know how to describe the noise. It was a loud thump. And so when I came back for lunch, I was telling Paul, you know, and he was like, oh, he said, you know, probably ain't nothing, but he went ahead and come back with me. I said, just come back to the stand with me and listen. So we went back to the stand that evening. We wasn't sitting there 10 minutes. The wind wasn't blowing. It wasn't blowing that morning. It wasn't blowing that afternoon. And then across the power line up the hill, another tree came down. I mean, you know, that ain't normal to have three trees falling in one day, I wouldn't think.
Especially on a calm day.
Yeah, especially on a calm day.
The wind was not blowing that day.
And I've had stuff pacing behind me before when I'd be hunting. It was pacing back and forth. And I kept thinking, what is this? You know, I thought, do deer do that? Would a buck do that? I remember asking Paul, you know, after I got down, and I was like, would a deer do that? And he's like, I don't know. I ain't never heard of it. And he's like, well, maybe it was a squirrel. And I said, it was running back and forth. I said, and it was big, you know, not running, pacing. It was going back and forth. I said, but it was big. I said, it didn't sound like an animal. I said, whatever it was really big. You know, the major thing that happened was like, it was in, 2021, June 14th. I have a swimming pool and I went out to get, I was going to clean it, you know, get in the pool. It was on a Monday and I got in and I cleaned it and I was just floating around. I was here by myself and I always take, you know, protection when I go out there. It's just a, you know, little handgun. But anyways, I was laying there on in the pool mat and I was looking, I guess that's kind of northeast. And it opens up back there a little bit, and then there's a path that leads farther into the woods. Well, I was looking that way, and I had been hearing a weird whistle noise before that, too. I had heard it across the power line, and it was pretty loud. It didn't sound like your typical bird or anything. It was just a whistle, but I could tell it had gotten closer. And I was looking down there, and I seen it was this reddish-brown color. It looked like part of a head and a shoulder. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, what in the world is that? And it's, what is that? Probably about 120 yards away. Mm-hmm. And so I just laid there and watched it. I never seen it move. And I thought, could it be like a limb, part of the tree, like broken, was dead? Or so I floated over to get a drink of water. And when I had floated over to that side of the pool, there was another cedar tree that kind of blocked that area. So when I floated back, it was gone. And I knew then, I thought, no, that was something there. And so that night, Paul and I sat out front. It was getting, you know, late evening. Still, you know, it wasn't completely dark. And then we heard a wood knock come from that general area. I mean, it was loud, too. Mm-hmm. And then we sat back out front on Wednesday night. And I hadn't gotten in the pool anymore, you know, that, we heard another wood knock come from that same general area. And then to the other side of the house, there was something that let out this sound like a sneeze. but it was a really deep, rough sneeze. I mean, it wasn't a deer or anything like that. I mean, this was.
Yeah, it was a real deep, rough sneeze is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
But I've heard plenty of deer sneeze, and I could tell it was not a deer.
No. But Paul even got up and he walked around there, which it was so dark in the woods by that time, you couldn't see anything. And so the next day, I needed to get back out there and clean the pool. So I headed out there, and as I walked, I have to walk down behind my car, down the driveway a little bit, and then there's steps that lead down to where Paul parks his truck, and there's like a couple of steps, and then it kind of flattens out, and then another step. And then we have a carport there to where he parks his truck. And so I walked down there. As I was walking down there, I heard it sounded like maybe a buck grunt, but it was way deeper. It was a grunt. And I turned around, and I was looking, through the woods, couldn't see anything. So I went ahead and I got in the pool. I turned on the radio, and I listen to Christian music when I'm, a lot. And especially when I'm out there, it makes me feel better, I guess. And then when I got in the pool, I heard the grunt again. And, I kept looking, and, I didn't see anything. So I just started cleaning, and I had heard it sounded like a limb crash through the woods. I don't know. Something broke and fell. I don't know. I had also heard it was sounding like metal hitting metal. That's the only way I can describe it. Paul has back there in that little area that opens up, he has a bunch of pipes and stuff back there that he uses when he welds. It just sounded like metal hitting metal. And, I was really getting creeped out. So I was making the last round, skimming the top of the pool. I didn't have a deck at this time. All I had was a ladder, and Bob made me this little thing to hang on the side of the pool to where I could put my gun and my phone and my water. I was about 15 feet away from that in the ladder. And I'm only 5 foot one. And the pool comes up to almost my neck. So, when I come around, I just happened to look up. And it was standing there. It's probably about 40 yards, and 20 yards being like the yard and driveway, the other 20 being in the woods. So it was only about 20 yards into the woods. And I believe in guardian angels. I've heard mine speak to me before. It kept me from being in a really bad car crash with my kids in the car. It kept my daughter from getting crushed one time because, it would warn me. It's a female. Well, anyways, when I looked up and I seen that thing standing there, she said, don't look at it. So I looked back down into the water like I didn't even see it. And I just kept I took a few steps forward, and I couldn't see it. And there was some stuff blocking my view underneath the carport, and I didn't know where it was at. I couldn't hear because I had the radio on. It wasn't real loud, but I couldn't hear. And so I kind of leaned back or took a step back and was kind of trying to look, because walking towards the ladder would have been walking closer to this thing. And I didn't see it. I didn't know where it went. And I turned. I remember looking at the ladder, thinking I got to get out of here. And I don't remember anything until I had gotten out of the pool, apparently. But I was standing on the steps. Like I said, steps go down. There's like a little flat area, and then there's another step. I was standing on that flat area because I'm in the wide open right there. And I remember standing there looking around, but it was like I was in a fog. It was just fog. I don't even know how, white fog. And I remember looking around, looking for it. And I remember turning to go up the steps. I vaguely remember walking past my car and coming in the house. But, and then, you know, I came in and I can remember pretty much after I got in the house, you know, what I did, because I always go and rinse off and then, come down and try to start getting supper ready for Paul before he gets home from work. And, but when I come downstairs, he was home. So I don't know if I lost time. I know I can't remember, but I don't know how much time went through. I mean, how much time lapsed. I don't know. It was because everything was, it was almost like a dream state is about the best way I can describe it. But I could actually see fog. And that's what I don't understand, because when I don't remember getting out of my pool, and I was just standing there on that, you know, on that little landing, and it was like fog everywhere, a white fog. Well, it was, me and Paul done a size comparison later, and it was probably about 7.5 feet tall, and its shoulders was every bit of 4 feet wide. It was massive across the shoulders. But what was so crazy about this thing is it literally had taken its hair and pulled it in front of its face, like it didn't want me to see its face. That makes no sense to me. I could not see the face. It had long hair that hung down, like if it would be hanging on a human, it would have been, you know, a couple of inches past your chin. This thing looked well groomed. It was, the hair wasn't matted. It was just hanging in front of its face. I couldn't see nothing on the face. And like I said, the shoulders were huge and they didn't slant. I couldn't see like muscles on the shoulders, like the muscles that, what were they called? I don't know what those muscles like around the neck are called. But the shoulder, I mean, it was like the head and then the shoulders just went straight out. But they were massive shoulders. And then in the arms, the way it was standing, I guess because the shoulders were so wide, which it was very muscular. It was standing there and its arms were kind of bowed. And I could see the pec muscles in its chest. And, I never saw skin. This thing was so hairy. I never saw any skin or that I remember anyway. And, you know, it was tapered at the waist. I mean, this thing was built. It had a huge, I could see the right side really good. The left side, the sun was hitting the right side. And, you know, the left side was more shaded. Its thigh muscle on the right is humongous. I could see it all the way down to the lower part of the calf. And I could see the calf muscle bulging out of its legs, you know. But when it was standing there, it had its arms were kind of bowed out, and the hair hanging off of its arms was about 6 inches long, I would say. And I could see the wind blowing the hair. I never seen it move, but I could see the hair off of that arm. You know, it was blowing in the wind. You know, that I never seen like the genitalia part of it or anything, or if I did, you know. But it was just standing there.
And I want to thank Jennifer B. again on the site for picking that episode. Thanks so much, Jen, and Merry Christmas. Next up is episode 841, We Are Moving. And this was actually chosen by Teresa M. Merry Christmas, Teresa. I interviewed Carrie, and her and her husband had bought a property in Tennessee, and there was a lot of really bizarre things that went on this property, more than what you'll hear in this clip, but you'll kind of get a sense of what's going on. And when I spoke to Carrie, you know, she was a long-term hunter, wasn't really scared of anything, didn't believe in Bigfoot, thought it was BS and nonsense, and she starts talking about what was going on the property when they very first moved in, leading up to her sighting. Let's take a listen.
Well, almost immediately, the first week, we had finished moving in. At the end of the week, we were taking boxes out, and it was about 7 o'clock in the evening. It was late spring, and I heard whistlings coming from one side of the property. Okay, let me give you a layout. It's a house, and then it's a flat field of an acre flat, and a creek runs along the edge of the right side of it, and then it backs up to a kind of a U-shape, a horseshoe around the back acre of property to mountains and woods, heavy woods that goes into the Smoky Mountains far. I mean, it just goes long, long ways for as long as you can walk pretty much before anything is back there. And in the front of our house is about an acre, and there's a little tiny country road and railroad tracks. And right along the railroad tracks is about a 10-foot wide strip of woods. And then there's a river, a wide river that runs into the Pigeon River and connects with the Cherokee River, a bunch of Nolichucky River and a bunch of other rivers. We heard whistling coming from one side of the property, the acre, and then the other side, obviously in the woods. And the whistles, I turned around. My mom had parrots before. And I turned around and looked at it, and I kind of made a joke because the parrots were from the Amazon. I'm like, wow, I didn't know we moved to the Amazon. And my husband's like, that's just the bird. I'm like, that's not like any bird I've ever heard in the woods. And like I said, I've been, you know, all over hunted woods in West Virginia, Virginia, all over North Carolina, Dismal Swamp, Georgia, and never heard anything like that. And so the whistles started almost immediately. Things were being disappearing out back. My husband just had some shiny trim put on the top of his car, and he said, you're not peeling this metal trim off, are you? And I'm like, no. And he's like, I keep getting these weird rock piles on my car, and my trim is being peeled up. And I laughed, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And the trim he had just had put on his car was shiny and silver, and it looked like someone had dug their fingers in and was peeling it up. And there was these little weird rock structures, looked like pyramids, being kind of being left there. Well, where we live, there isn't any children. It's farmers or older retired people. We don't really live in, like, you know, a regular community neighborhood. Like, for instance, Halloween, we don't turn our porch light on because there's nobody to come. That's, you know, how remote we live. We live in farm country. So there's nobody around here that would do anything like that. I mean, usually during the day when I walk or evening, we're the only ones around or even anywhere in sight for long ways. We don't even have internet. We've tried every way possible. The only internet we have is our phone. We could get satellite internet, but that's like that's very well over $100+. That's up there. The first really after that, the whistling, and then we started hearing, we'd be sleeping to, it was usually about 3:30 in the morning, we would hear tapping on the front door, light tapping. And the first time my husband jumped up and he went to go open the door, and I'm like, whoa, stop. It's 3-something in the morning. I'm like, don't pull the door open. First of all, we didn't at the time. We don't have a gun. If someone's doing that at your door, you know, that they got, you know, a set of big ones on them. They're getting ready to come in and do something to us, rob us, hurt us. Who knows if they're doing that? And if they're tapping lightly, that's kind of scary. Don't whip the door open. And he was like, yeah, you're right. So he looked out the peephole and he didn't see anything. And I looked out there and I didn't see anything. And the crazy part is he kept trying to turn the porch light on and it wouldn't come on. And I'm like, that's so weird. So little bizarre things started happening right off the bat. And it was only a few months, about 3 months after we lived here, that we're here, when I had my first, like, to this day, I swear I have PTSD from this encounter. I can't get it out of my head. This, the first real bad thing that happened to me here was sighting this thing. Well, it was about I still remember the time to this day. It was 3:43 exactly in the morning. And I was dead asleep, and I know it sounds crazy, and I probably shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to. I woke up, and I had drool on my face, totally embarrassing. So you know you're really asleep when you have drool on your face. So I woke up, and I wiped the drool off my face. I'm like, what? Why am I awake? And I felt danger, danger, danger. Like, literally the hair was standing up on my arms. And I was like, oh, what the? I mean, I was like totally out. So I jump up, and I'm like standing like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm feeling this. Like, what's going on? My husband's sound asleep. And I was going to wake him up, but two reasons. One, I know he would have said, Carrie, it's 3:00 in the morning. Let's just go back to sleep. We're okay. And I didn't want to deal with that. And then the other thing was, I felt like there wasn't time. It was like, you know, now. So I got up, and he has this, I don't know. I've come to find out guys like flashlights, big lights. So he's got this 50,000 aluminum lumens flashlight, and it's handheld, and it looks like a giant old school radar detector. I swear this thing is like the size of a freaking dinner plate. You have to hold it by hand, and when you squeeze it, you pull the trigger, just like an old radar detector, and the light comes on. So I run to the back door. The whole time we lived here, I never go to the, we don't even go in and out the back door. We have a giant deck, covered deck, that outlooks, like I said, the back field and the mountain, but we come in and out our front door. So I don't even know why I went to the back door. I just knew to go there. And I shine the light, I open the back door, and the curtain's hanging there, and I move the curtain out of the way, and I pan the light across the field. Well, first of all, I have two big dogs, inside dogs, and one is very protective of me. He's my service dog. He's a Rottweiler, so that's why I wasn't too scared to open the door. But I didn't go out there. And like I said, there's a deck there. So I'm panning the light across the field, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Just go back to sleep. There's nothing. All you're going to see is a field full of deer, because there's deer in our yard, like, daily. Literally. So I'm like, all you're going to see is deer. So I'm panning, and I'm seeing nothing. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. There's like, I mean, there's always deer back there. And I'm like, okay. And I get to the creek, and I'm like, whoa, holy cow, there's a deer. I mean, there's a bear there. And it, you know, how bears have the arched kind of little arch in their back, the black bears. So I'm like, that's what I see. And I'm like, wow, there's a freaking bear there. How cool. So I hit it with the light, and then all of a sudden it stands up, and I'm like, what? I'm trying to process this. My mind is not, it's like a foreign language to me. It's just not processing what is happening, because you are raised and told that monsters are not real. So when you see one, there is nowhere in your brain processing center for this to be processed. So it stands up. And I had a side view of it, and they had a very good view of it. We measured way after the fact how far away distance this was. It was 70 yards and clear view. Like I said, it's an open field, no trees in the field. The woods are in the background. And the creek is about 15 feet before you get to the wood line. So I had a very clear view of it, not one tree in the way. And it stood up, and I'm like, okay, bear standing up. And then all of a sudden I see arms and I see hands. Wes, I nearly peed my pants. I was so freaking scared. I was like, what? What's happening? And usually I'm not like, I hunted sometimes even alone. So, I mean, a woman out in the woods alone, sometimes deep in the woods, I'm not, you know, fight or flight kind of person. I know I'll stand my ground, not one to run away. And all hands, and the hands were freaking enormous. They were, oh my gosh, they were the size, they looked like they were the size of a back of a tissue box. Like a regular long, 120 count, I'm looking at a tissue box now. and it hung past their knees. And then I saw the muscles on the arms and how wide this thing was. And I saw grayish, like a not black skin, but like a light, like a light, like a, I don't know, like a off gray, gray. I want to say blackish gray, but it was more of a gray skin. And seemed to have breasts on it, but I don't know if the breasts were just pecs because this thing was so built like a bodybuilder. But then I saw a belly, and I'm like, okay, what the heck? I'm trying to process, and of course, I'm still trying to process this. And I don't know if the belly is because it was pregnant, but it looked like, you know, the size of a belly of maybe like a 5 month pregnant woman. And there wasn't as much hair around the breast and the belly. It was lighter hair. And I know this because the light, when it hit skin area, it kind of had like it shined off of it. I'm kind of trying to think of the word. You know, if you look at something shiny and it the glare kind of glared off of that. That's how I could tell there wasn't as much hair there. And the hair was like a very dark, I don't want to say black, but like a very dark woody mahogany kind of color. And it was shiny and sleek. If I had ever believed in a Bigfoot or thought of it, I'm like, well, they live out in the woods. Their hair should be all matted and nappy. And it wasn't. It looked shiny and sleek. And this was the part that I will never, ever, this is burned in my brain. Like if you burn a CD. It leaned its head back, and it let out a scream. I still, to this day, get choked up over this. It let out a scream that when this thing screamed, it was so freaking loud. It was like, it's almost like you want to go, dude, turn that down. Someone's going to call the cops. That's a crazy reaction. But that was like one of the first things that went and flashed through my head. Why? I don't know. That's the whole thing's crazy. But that's what I thought. And it was so loud. And it first of all, when it happened, it about 1 second after, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Then all of a sudden it hit me. I felt this wave. It was like an ocean wave from my head that kind of rippled, like ripple, like ocean wave rippling all the way down to my feet. And it's almost like the bass of a stereo turned up too loud, that it just felt like my organs rippled, like vibrated, literally vibrated, like the bass of a stereo turned up too loud. And I could not believe what I was seeing. And this scream lasted, I thought about it time and time again, and I even timed it like months after the fact. It was at least 30 to 40 seconds long without taking a breath, nonstop. And I couldn't believe it. And after I froze near the end, I'm like, oh my God, I've just seen a Bigfoot. Before I go telling everybody this, I got to be sure. And I'm going, you don't want to look again. You don't want to look again. And I'm saying, you do. So I shine the light on it again. And at this time, it had moved right into the beginning of the wood line in the exact same scenario, the whole thing over again. Same scream, same ripple. I froze. I couldn't move. And then after I unfroze, it was gone. It's just, that scream has burned into my brain forever. It has changed my entire life to the point where we are moving. I used to go out in the woods every single day. I used to hike all over the Smoky Mountains with my dog. I've not been in the woods one time since then. I have been on the edge of the wood line walking with my dog, and that even terrifies me. I've not been in the woods one time. I don't hunt anymore. I don't even want to fish anymore or go in our little kayaks anymore because it's too close to the woods. We're moving. We're selling our home and moving. I want to move back to a neighborhood where people don't realize when you want to live more remote, so do other things because there's not as many people. And I really did not think that everybody wants to live in this nice little bubble and have everything put in their little place, because anything that's out of place, you don't know what to do with it, and you don't know how to process it, and it makes you feel scared. But I was one of those people too. But they're real. Then they exist. And after the fact, I had always heard that they have a cone shaped head, and no, it had no cone shaped head. It had a giant round head. I mean, we have a TV tray. Standard TV tray, and I swear this thing's head was probably just the head, size of the top of my TV tray. And like I said, I did not have a full-on face view of it. And even if I did, I probably couldn't see its face because it was so dark in color and it was gray, and everything kind of camouflaged itself all in place. I couldn't see any ears. I just saw, this giant round head sitting on top of a body. I didn't see no neck, like it had no neck, and it had huge arms. I mean, like a bodybuilder, arms. I'm 200 pounds in this thing. And then we met, and there was footprints out there later on. And then I had my husband go out there and stand, and I stood at the door to try to get an idea of how tall it was. He's 6 foot. This thing was about 2.5 feet taller than he was, so it had to be 8.5 feet tall, and it had to be at least 800 pounds, if not that. And it had a, besides the stomach, it seemed, like I said, I couldn't see it front on, but it seemed like the sides weren't as wide as the hips and the hips and the legs. And I could see the calf muscles on the legs. I couldn't see the feet because it was appeared to be standing in the creek, which, unless we have a big rainstorm and it's raging, it's a foot deep raging, but it's only maybe 6 inches deep. It's a creek. So I couldn't see its feet, but I could see the calf muscles and the side view of it. I could see the hands. The hands did not appear to be covered in hair. They appeared to have little scraggly pieces of hair coming off here and there. I could see from with the light, but they just appeared to be kind of look like gorilla hands, but a whole lot bigger. I didn't see long fingernails or anything crazy looking like that. And this is not the first time that I've had a view of it.
Thanks again, Teresa, for picking that episode, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. The next episode was chosen by Bill S., and it's episode 974, The Ozark Wild Man. I interviewed Tom, and this happened in the summer of 1962, over 60 years ago. And Tom describes running into this creature and its very strange behavior. Let's take a listen.
I lived in a southern Illinois town, and our kind of way to escape was to go to, for vacations and that sort of thing, was to go to the Lake of the Ozarks. Now, I'm 67. I am pretty sure I was around 7 years old, and it felt like the Lake of the Ozarks was pretty rough place. And when I say rough, it was real country. But what we call backwoods. My uncle had purchased a foreclosed house in our little town in Illinois, and my dad and my Dutch uncles and his friends and stuff, they broke the house up into walls and floors and large pieces of roof and put it on a flatbed truck, and they drove it down to a site my uncle had purchased on the shores of the Lake of the Ozark at a kind of an isolated cove, and they put it back together. And so now we had this cabin to use down there, and it came time for us to have a turn to use the cabin, my family. And I have an older brother and two younger sisters and of course, mom and a dad. And we drove down there in our, my gosh, I think it was a a Chevy Bel Air or something like that. And I remember the drive from our little town to the Ozarks was about 3 hours. But once you got on the roads that started to go around the lake and get you to your, where you were going, it was a whole nother hour because you had to drive so slowly. You couldn't go faster than 20 miles an hour on a country road like that. So it took an hour and a half once we got there, and we get to the place and we pile out of the car, and my parents, they're happy to let us just take off and run around. My brother and I, you know, looked around the place, and we found a dock on the back of the cabin. And the cabin was really rough. I had one or two rooms inside and a pump in the kitchen to pump water. And I'd never seen anything like that before. And it had a toilet, which I think was really just a hole in the ground. I'm not sure. I can't remember that well. But I do recall that my brother and I found this dock in the back, and he was an avid fisherman and excited about that, got out his fishing pole, and we started doing what you know he liked to do, which was to fish. And I should mention, and my mother had told me this years later, not in relation to this story, but in relation to my childhood with my brother, we used to always, if you put us and sat us next to each other in a car in a backseat, we would, you know, Dutch rub each other or elbow each other or get into fights and just do that constantly. I'm sure we're not the only brothers that did that, but we fought like bear cubs all the time. And that's kind of instrumental in this story, because I'm sure all the time that, you know, since we got there and got out to the dock, we were pushing each other around and crabbing at each other and stuff. So anyway, my brother's fishing, and he gets he pulls in three catfish probably within an hour. And catfish were good, are good eating, and they're not something, you know, we throw them back here in Florida, but in the Missouri, when you're at the Ozarks, you take them and pan fry them or something like that. And so we tried to get my mom to cook them for us for dinner. She was too tired. I mean, it was, you know, a long drive and getting up, getting things set up at the cabin, and caused her to be pretty tired. And she suggested we keep them on the stringer, put them back in the lake, and we'll add to them and get them out tomorrow and have them for dinner. So we thought that's a fine idea. We did that. I recall, you know, we set them back in there, and being on a cove like this, I don't know what the experience of other persons are, but this is a cove is kind of a V-shaped thing, and it ends at a pointy V. We were near probably 150 yards to the end of the thing. There was maybe another cabin between us and the very end. The very end of the cove was kind of dark and foreboding. It was full of fallen trees, and it's sort of like when things went into the lake, they ended up at the very end of the cove, and they were piled into a pile. It was just kind of a scary looking place. I remember looking down that way and contemplating and just thinking, boy, somebody could be in there looking at us, and I don't even think we would know. And so I remember having that thought and moving on from there. Came to be night, and we went to sleep, and came the next day. We got up, and I went my way, and my brother went back out to go fishing. And when I came back to see him on the dock, I said, "Hey, how is the fishing going?" And he said, "Well, it's terrible." And I said, "Well, what's the matter? What's happened?" And he said, "Well, I came out here and the stringer was up on the dock. The fish were laid side by side according to size, and their skin had been stripped like a banana peel down to their tail, and all of the meat leaving just the skeleton and the head was gone. They were perfectly cleaned off. And I thought that was pretty extraordinary sounding. And I said, well, where is it? I want to see it. And he said, well, Dad already swept them into the water. And I said, well, what did Dad say? What happened here? And he said, well, some raccoon, a gang of raccoons or something must have pulled it out and sat down and ate it. I said, that doesn't sound right to me. I don't think raccoons would peel the skin like that. Well, they might, but okay, they might, and they might even eat the meat off the bones, but I don't think that they would do it so neatly that they would leave the skeleton like a silhouette and they wouldn't line them up in a line. All those things sounded a little too coincidental to me. And I said, that, you know, I don't think that's what happened. And he said, well, you know, that's what Dad said. And that was it. They were gone. I couldn't see them. And I of course, took my brother's word for what he saw. He didn't lie to me. Wouldn't lie to me. Incidentally, I have never to this day talked to my brother about this experience. He's an attorney and still practicing. He's 2 years older than I am. And I don't know if he'd like to be associated with this story, but that was the second day. And I think my brother and I split up a little bit. I went my way. In fact, I wanted to go walk down the road. Like Lake of the Ozarks is, if you've ever seen it from a map, it's just a fantastic twisting, winding lake, river / lake. It was, you know, water filled. It was dammed up at one end, as I understand it, and water filled in the valleys of the mountains, of the Ozark Mountains, and created this shoreline. I did look up. The shoreline is actually 1,100 miles. It's longer than the coast of California. If you were to unfurl the coast of California, that's what the shoreline is in the Lake of the Ozarks. But anyway, so I was walking. I got out on the road, and I was going to leave our cove. And, you know, you theoretically could walk around the entire lake. It would take, gosh, I bet it would take weeks. But you would be walking on the shoreline on a road that was hewn out of the sides of the kind of gently sloping mountains that made up the geography of the area. The slope of the mountains was not terribly high. It wasn't a very high slope. It was more like a slope of a normal person's roof, what we call a 4-on-12, you know, goes up 4 units and horizontally it's 12 units. So it's not a steep slope. And so when you carve a road out of something like that, that there's going to be a flat spot that's the width of a road, maybe just barely wide enough for two cars to get by on rock and big rock, big boulders and stuff like that. So you have that going on. And then in the direction I was heading, I had the lake on my left. The mountain was going up to my right. And so there was like a vertical wall right on one side that was about 4 or 5 feet tall. And I kept walking. And so I was walking. I came upon a stream of water that was coming down the side of the mountain, and it launched itself. Launch is a strong word. It trickled itself over the edge of that wall that was next to the, you know, the carved out wall that's next to the road. And I thought, boy, that I'm going to go up and I'm going to follow that stream and I'll use that as my landmark and I'll go up straight and I'll come back straight. And when I get back down to the bottom, I'll take a left and I'll go home. And so that's what I did. I found some footholds and I went up the vertical face, which was not hard. It was about as tall as I was. And I got up onto a place where I could look. I was standing right next to the road and could look down on the road. I located the stream, which was really just barely, I don't think you could even call it a creek. It was just a rivulet, maybe a foot and a half wide of of water. It was coming from up the hill, and I followed it up the hill, and I went up the hill, and I did not really have a worry about getting lost because I kept that right there. And the topography was interesting. And as I got up, I could see, you know, I could see the panorama of the lake. It did start to flatten out a little bit. And then I came to a spot where it got kind of flat. The water of the stream I was following had been blocked by a little dam that backed up the water into a large pool. As quickly as I noticed this area where I was, I looked across the pool, and there was a character. Oh my gosh. There was a creature at the other end of the pond, and it had its back to me. And I say creature, I kind of deduce creature. At first I thought it was a man. I wasn't sure what it was. It was skinny, and I don't think it was much bigger than me. It was maybe 5 foot tall. It was rangy. It had longish arms and a long body. I don't recall ever seeing its legs, and I don't want to think about this too much and fill in any gaps, because this memory is so old that I don't want to create something that's really not part of my memory of it. So anyway, it had its back to me, and it was kind of frolicking in this pool, and I was stunned to see it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't think it hurt, because I was next to this stream that was, you know, trickling and making slight noise, and I was quiet anyway. I didn't go blundering up there. I was very quiet all the way up. And so I thought, oh, maybe it didn't hear me. And I don't know that to be true. It is kind of bobbing up and down in the water, using its legs to, you know, the legs were underwater, so I couldn't see him, but they were, you know, he would squat down and then come back up. He had his arms out to the side. I have my arms out to the side right now. And I noticed that there was hair, and it was hair. It looked like he had on what we call a mohair sweater, like a real, shaggy mohair sweater with, sparse, but longish hairs on it. And he was keeping his arms out of the water, his backside and his torso, that was slick. And I thought, oh, he's got a pair of overalls on. And I don't know if he had a pair of overalls on or not, or if maybe the water had slickened the hair down on him and it was so smooth and shiny that it looked like, you know, like wet Levi material. But he was kind of frolicking and just having fun. And I think he knew I think he might have known he had an audience. I'm pretty sure he did. And as I was watching him and fascinated and stayed perfectly quiet, he reached down into the water on his left side. Now remember, he has his back to me, and I'm watching the back of him. And he reaches down and he pulls up a crawdad, and he has it pinched between his index and his thumb. So that tells you how close I was to him to be able to see that. I think I was probably 20 feet away. This was not a large pool. It was a little mountain pool with the one end dammed up. He then reached down with his arm, you know, leaned down and reached down in there and pulled out a crawdad and pinched it together with his right thumb and his index finger. And then he stood up and he held the two arms above over to his head, kind of to the left, and he pushed them together, the crawdads from the left hand and the right hand. He pushed them together and went, yeah, 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 yeah. And the crawdads got excited. Their arms went out and their claws opened up. And then he kind of leaned over to the right-hand side and did the same thing again. He pushed them together and went, yeah. And then I'm still watching this and just fascinated. And all the time I'm watching this, I remember my mind was just, it was like a billiards on a pool table, the way it was bouncing around. I had never heard of anything like
that. All right, folks, we are near the top of the hour break. This goes on for a little bit. I'm going to post the full link in the chat room to what Wes is calling the best of Sasquatch Chronicles, Volume 5. Full link in the chat room. Let's pop over for a second. What is going on? I don't know if this Saturday, Rick and I are going to be joining Bill Grant. I know Sunday ain't going to work, as the kids say, because that is a good old Christmas Eve. And I won't be here Monday. Maybe I think we could do, I could do with Crip, if Rick, if he's open to it. Maybe we could just simulcast his show on both studios, and I could just be on his show on Thursday. That might work. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm actually going to send him a message right now. Anyway, that's it, kids. End of the big award-winning program. I will speak with all of you on Thursday. Otherwise, hey, have a fabulous evening. Head over to revolution.radio, comment, spelling, donate. We're listener support, all that jazz and all that jazz. As always, in the words of Katie Couric, good night, y'all. Have yourself a glorious Monday evening or Tuesday late afternoon. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the people's war.